Hi, my friends. It has been a while, a long while, since I have sat down to record a podcast. There's been a little bit of, commitment issues on my end of, Lord, what am I committing to? How do I just, keep going in the midst of so much transition? But I know that He wants me to be here, and so I'm just being obedient. And so I have 6 episodes planned out very simply for myself because it is my spiritual journey. And if you are following me on Instagram or you are a friend on Facebook, I've been sharing my spiritual journey, and I have one more, unless I break it up into 2, but one more, and it will make it 6 parts. And so I am going to do a short podcast on each part that I've written. And it has honestly been really healing to sit down and write everything out. But let's see, a little catch up before I read that, and then we just dive into this podcast episode. So I have been at my position as youth minister for almost a year now. I love being able to be with the kiddos, and it has been a true joy to just see how they have grown over this past year and how I've been able to walk with them in relationship and friendship. There's one particular story that I just want to share because it's so good. There is one boy in particular who is an 8th grader, and at the beginning of this year, I was like, oh no, he's going to be trouble. how are we to walk with him? And I'm not in their class every week because we have leaders who lead their classes. And so I'm just preparing words, material, and things like that. And so I just kind of knew that it would be a struggle for these leaders. And so he was often one that we would talk about at the end of the night. And he has a lot of family things going on. His parents have split up, and that's just a lot for a middle school kid to go through. And so he's navigating that, and I can just see in his personality just how much he needs to be seen and cared for. And thankfully, through our prayers and support, his countenance is just so different at the end of this year, and it makes me sad that we're going to take a summer's break. But the Lord is good, and He's faithful, and I know that He will continue to lead him. Anyways, he came in not having, any at all, knowledge, really, around the church, and he's not being taught at all, what it looks like to, live out a Christian faith, and especially a Catholic faith. And I just remember, questions being asked at the beginning of the year and him just being so clueless. And we got to the end of this year, and on the last night, or the night before our very last night, for our last night, we had a luau, and it was so fun playing with the kids. We played Jeopardy, and his knowledge around church teachings enamored me because I want to cry now. It just amazes me just how far he's come, and it is such a beautiful picture of the importance of having people who care for us and pray for us. And I know that I could have prayed more, but yeah, it's just such a reminder of how important it is to have people who will go out on a limb for us. And I'm just thankful for those people in my life, especially through this last year, through so much change, which we will talk about more in the last piece of my spiritual journey. I'm together, but I wanted to share that because it's so beautiful. So whoever is in your life that it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know if they will ever get it, keep praying, keep interceding for this person. Just continue to be there because you just don't know when the Lord will move and how He will make a way, and you don't want to miss out on the beauty of that. So, I had to share that because it was just so great. So, I am going to go ahead and get into my spiritual journey part one. So, the other thing is that these podcast episodes will probably be shorter, I imagine, like no longer than 15 minutes, but we know that I can ramble. So maybe they will be longer. But I don't foresee them being super long. Okay, so my spiritual journey part one. Growing up, I attended what could and probably would be considered a church that taught the prosperity gospel and word of faith. I often thought if I do slash say X, God will do X for me. If I simply named what I desired, of course it would happen. I had no theology around suffering because supposedly we were all meant to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. So when a speaker said that in donating slash offering X amount, that X thing will happen, I believed it, thinking it had to be the will of God for me. I remember more talks about money and finances than I remember hearing the gospel, which I didn't hear clearly until college. But we'll come back to that. I remember healing services and people rising from wheelchairs to walk, experiences where minor ailments were healed. I was awestruck but skeptical about this, which will bear fruit in a later part of my story. I remember learning about the power of spiritual gifts in the spiritual realm, learning about the schemes of the enemy, learning the reality of the war that is taking place for our souls. Coming out of my younger years, especially pre-college, I had a lot of questions. I would talk with other teenagers about what was happening during our services, whether we believed it to be honest or over-exaggerated. I could have turned away from Christianity, having been somewhat ill-informed on what living life with Him faithfully could look like. I had no idea how the Lord would steal my heart and take me on a journey through theology, His love, beautiful community, and more to lead me home. Follow along for part two. In my little preface, I don't know, at the end is that this is my story. I hold no judgment for what others may believe. If the Lord's taught me anything in my journey, it is to humbly receive others, even when I may disagree, while being resolute about what I believe to be true. Arrogance in the face of opposing thought keeps us stagnant, lacking grace, compassion, and care for the dignity of souls before or around us. And I put that at the end of each part of my spiritual journey because, again, in this last year, I have just faced so much of lack of understanding, but then also like lack of the ability to like hold space and like hear, what I'm going through, like why I'm making certain decisions. Like there was no curiosity. So it's like I don't mind if people don't understand like the choices that I'm making. Like not everybody needs to understand every single thing that we're doing, but the lack of genuine curiosity is something that definitely like keeps us stagnant, and open to what the Lord can do in our own hearts and minds. Even if we don't change our mind about a thing, there is a humility that comes from curiosity. And that was actually part of our homily at church today. I just remembered that. Like one of the points that Father spoke was that we like to have humility and to be growing in humility, we have to like be able to like be curious about the people that are before us. When we are so self-centered, we don't hold within ourselves the ability to be curious about other people because our ego is too large. If you want a good book on that, Ego is the Enemy, and The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness are two of my favorite books that really like begin to help me like understand my ego and then like where humility comes in. And so, anyways, I like to talk about those two books when it in regard to like our ego, but also like just giving me like personally just more like of a level-headed approach in how I receive others, how I think about my own life and all of that, like giving grace and compassion to myself and also to others when I don't understand or I'm working through something. So, okay, wow. See, this is my problem. I just like go on tangents about things. Okay, so I started saying that I grew up in what can be considered a prosperity gospel church. I definitely think that it was that. And I struggled to tithe for a long time after being part of this like church community because of how abused like wealth is. And so that was just like a huge struggle for me. And something that I encountered every single week was the fact that people just kind of wore a mask, and it was like everything in their life was perfect. And that, like, it just wasn't the case. There was so much mess. And I think when we, like, are unable to vocalize, like, the mess that is happening in our lives, it just gets worse. Like, it just gets worse. And that just happened. There are just, like, many scenarios in which that happened that it's like, oh, should I have known that as a teenager? Anyways, yeah, and so because, like, the teaching was essentially to be happy, healthy, and wealthy, of course you can't show, like, the true humanity, like, what you are actually navigating as a human. And we'll come back to this in my spiritual journey part two, but when I first witnessed that among Christian community, I was like, this is amazing, like, where has this been all my life? And yeah. So, and then there was often the, like, if you do / say X, God will do this for you, or even, like, the manifestation. I talked a little bit about that in a podcast episode that I did with a gal on my conversion into the church, and honestly, I hadn't, like, really talked about that before, but she, like, made the point that it, like, it is essentially, like, manifestation, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I never thought of that. Like, it was like, if you want, like, the red Corvette, you know, just, like, put it on your wall, and, like, at some point you'll have it. Like, if you see it enough, like, it'll be legit, you know. And, like, there is, like, some, I don't know, huh? Like, there is, like, legitimacy in, like, having, I'm thinking out loud at the moment, because, like, I currently have a prayer board and things that I'm, like, praying for and, like, working out in my life. And so I guess, like, that's different than, like, a dream board where it's like, I'm just gonna, like, manifest these things and, like, you're not doing anything, you know, for it. Which is just so wild. And you guys, like, I literally live this way up until, like, this past year. Like, I remember at some point in this last year telling my mentors, I was like, I have just kind of so long thought, like, if I, like, just think about this enough, like, it will happen for me. Guys, and so it is just so important that we, like, are in good, like, theologically solid communities, in churches, like, even if you're not Catholic, those of you guys listening that aren't Catholic, like, I don't know, it's just so important to have good theology, and of course, I want, like, everyone to come home, but, it's just, it's so crazy, you know, that I continue to live that way without even recognizing for that would have been 6 more years where it's like, okay, like, if I just think about these things enough, then, like, it will happen for me. And when I recognized that, I was just like, oh gosh, you know, like, this has continued to, like, just stay in my heart and in my mind. And I think with that in particular, the Lord has done so much work in my heart. And going on, like, a little tangent, but, like, I love Sabbath so much. And so there was a while where I would, like, take Sundays off and, like, do nothing. But if you looked at my week, like, there was nothing that gave me Sabbath. And so, okay, I'm going to pause this so that I can come back. But there is a scripture that, like, references, like, Sabbath is not made for the man, but man for the Sabbath. Oh, I just messed that up. Okay, give me 2 seconds. Okay, I think I said it right. And so it's Mark 2:27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So, like, essentially, like, we we must be doing work. Like, there is a work that we are meant for, like, while we are on earth. And Sabbath, like, it gives life to the way that we work in a really unique way. Like, I remember reading Redeeming Your Time, and Jordan Rayner, like, talks about the fact that, like, when people actively Sabbath, their life is longer. And so it's like, in our culture, we are just, like, so hyper productive, and, like, people don't rest. And it's like, if I just, like, do all these things, like, my life will be great. And it's like, no, like, you can be so productive and being doing so many good things for the Lord in rest at the same time, because, like, when we rest, there's just, like, a, it's, like, multiplication that, like, happens. It gives us, like, more energy for the week, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have so much more time in my week. It's crazy. Jordan Rayner talks about that as well. But it's, like, when we are, like, constantly crunched and, like, going from thing to thing to thing to thing without rest, like, there's this stripping away that happens. And so, like, remembering that, like, the Lord wants us to be productive, but He also wants us to rest. It's such a beautiful thing. And so Sabbath was made for us. It was so made for us as we do just the big and beautiful things for the Lord. Okay, and so let's see, what else? There was specifically a time also where I think it was like only $100, but like I was a teenager, probably like 15, 16. And the guy on the stage, like, literally was like, if you give this amount, or, like, whatever is in your heart. And I just remember being, like, so nervous and, like, so scared. I gave $100. And I don't think it, like, depleted my bank account at that time. But, like, that's a lot of money for a teenager. Like, I could have went and got coffee or, like, hung out more with friends. I don't know. Something, then, like, give it. And I don't remember, like, what he said would happen. But I just remember, like, in the months after, I was like, oh, this didn't happen in my life. Like, this is kind of weird. And so, yeah, I just started less and less, like, trust these figures in my life, and yeah, which, yeah, it's just crazy. But there were also just, like, beautiful healing services, and so, like, there, it was, like, very prosperity, like, focused, but also very, charismatic, which, there's a lot to get into there. I was, like, I was awestruck and skeptical. I am not a cessationalist. I do believe that we have gifts that the Lord wants us to use. The hyper-focus on these healing services was just too much for me, because at the same time, like, not every hurt or illness that we have here on earth will be healed. And so again, like, coming out of that, like, prosperity bubble is like, no, like you should be perfect, essentially. And there's actually a lady within, like, the Catholic community who passed recently. I don't know much about her story, but she fought long and hard. And so I think about this, and I'm like, I, like, came out of traditions where it was like, no, like, you're doing something wrong, like, if you are ill, you know. And I'm like, this beautiful lady, you know, is passed, and she, such a beautiful, like, witness of the Catholic faith. And so I just, it's hard for me now to reconcile with communities of people that believe that everything should be perfect here on earth. And that's, like, healing is available to us. Like, I have literally healed so much in this past year. But I think we can get too wrapped up in the Lord, like, healing everything for us. And that's just not true. Like, it's not something that can happen, or, like, will happen. Like, we just can't expect that, and we have to take a real hearty look at our expectations when we do believe that this is something that can happen for us, just to be, like, totally healed, like, all the time. And so, yeah, I think that is it, actually. Lastly, I talk about the power of the spiritual gifts and the spiritual realm. I learned a lot from the church that I grew up in, like, on the spiritual realm and the gifts and all of that. And so I'm just, like, thankful that I've learned the ability to, like, take what is true from, like, hard circumstances and, like, still be able to apply it to life and, like, not totally reject it, because it's really easy to do that and just, like, have very black and white thinking, which the enemy did kind of try and rope me into for a while. But we will come back to that. I have a glory story as we were, like, talking about just, like, physical healing. And, like, this is honestly something that I, like, thought that I would, like, live with forever. And so I was like, this is fine. But, like, that didn't keep me from, like, praying from healing. Again, we just have to have a healthy balance. We have to be unattached to the idea of perfection or even our own ideals. But the glory story, the Lord has healed my gluten issue, and it has been amazing. A few weeks before Easter, I was like, Lord, like, it would just really be nice to, like, not deal with this. Not that, like, I mean, I've found great brands of gluten-free stuff. It's been a beautiful journey of, like, figuring that out and stewarding my body well, like, with an intolerance. And then over Easter weekend, talk about resurrection. I was like, I don't even know, like, what made me think I'll just, like, try some, like, gluten things. And I did. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't have any stomach cramps, like, my arms aren't itching, like, whenever I have an intolerance to something, I always, like, break out on my upper arms and start itching. None of that happened, no brain fog. I was like, oh my gosh, he healed me. And then a couple weeks later, I just went at it again, and I was like, I just have to try, like, I have to see. And I ate, like, a whole plate of, like, just glutinous sweets, and I was okay. And I was like, oh, this is beautiful. And so, again, like, the Lord does desire to heal us. We just can't have the expectation that, like, everything about us will be totally healed. And, like, also just, like, thinking about the fact that, like, healing isn't linear. So, like, I don't know. Like, maybe some other time in my life I will have a gluten intolerance again. But I really think it was, like, from my lack of capacity for stress after, like, living in survival mode for so long and, like, fight, flight, freeze. Just all of that. Like, the Lord has really healed me emotionally, mentally, in all the ways. And again, like, healing isn't linear. I know that I will walk through times where things that have grieved me in the past will grieve me again, but I'll be able to carry it to the cross, and the Lord will do what he does best and take it and receive it and help me to walk through those things again. And so I thank you for being here and for listening to me ramble. I hope you enjoyed listening to the first part of my spiritual journey. I hope you have a great day whenever you are listening to this. I pray that the Lord help you to be bold in your call today. Okay, bye, my friends. Bye.